Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message today is Come Quickly, Lord Jesus. Based on our epistle reading from Revelation 22, these verses, Jesus said, Behold, I am coming soon. And let the one who hears say, Come. He who testifies to these things says, Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. I invite you to take out the blue insert in your service folder, find our sermon outline as we consider our theme, Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Jesus promises here that He's coming soon and He's bringing with Him the end of this present world and the beginning of all eternity in heaven. And John's response is a simple prayer. John's response, this simple prayer, the last words of Holy Scripture is this. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Maybe you've heard that prayer spoken before in church before. Or maybe in some context you've spoken a prayer just like that. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Please come quickly. I am fed up with the pains and disappointments and heartaches and sorrow this world has to offer. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, and usher in your kingdom and bring me to your side in heaven forever. Well, I can remember a time when I was a student at the seminary in St. Louis, Missouri, in the USA. It was just before the end of the spring term, the end of the spring semester. And I had far much too much work to do, schoolwork to do, than I could ever get done. And so I did the only logical thing I could think of. I skipped out on a night of study and went with a buddy to the St. Louis Cardinals Major League Baseball game. When I got back to my room after the game, the books and the papers were still on my desk. In just a few days, I had to write several 20-page papers and study for 3 final exams. So I prayed the only logical prayer I could think of praying. Jesus, I wish you would come back and bring with you the end of the world and please make it before next Monday. It would sure save me a lot of work. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. We've all had times like this and many much more serious. Life gets hard for one reason or another, and then we remember that Jesus said He will come back and bring an end to all pain and suffering. He will come back and stop all of our tears and grief. He will bring the dead out of their graves and give them glorified bodies, never again to be subjected to disease, never again to be subjected to decay, never again to be subjected to death. Oh, it will be an incredible day, that day, when Jesus returns. And often we wish, as I did so many years ago in my seminary study, we wish He would come back sooner than later. And we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Did you know that the church throughout all the ages have prayed this very prayer? Yes, it has. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, is the last verse of the last book of the entire Bible. This prayer comprises the very last words of Holy Scripture. This prayer expresses the hopes of thousands of years of biblical history, beginning in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And this prayer continues to be a prayer that's prayed by believers all over our world today. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Why? For 2 basic reasons. First, we want Jesus to come back because it's not safe here. And secondly, we want Him to come back because we want to go home. Let's now take a closer look at those two reasons. It's on your outlines for this morning. We pray this prayer because it's not safe here in this world. My friends, let's don't sugarcoat reality today. This world is an evil place. And it would only get worse before it gets better. In the reading from Revelation 22 from today, just before the come quickly prayer, St. John says this about the era in which he lived. Verse 15, outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, everyone who loves and practices falsehood. But look around our world today. It's not a safe place. In preparing for this sermon, I did some research. Don would be proud of me. On the internet. And I investigated a major North American newspaper to look for some news stories to talk about the shape our world is in today. Let me share just briefly four. A 37-year-old woman is arrested with $220,000 worth of drugs in her homes. She's a drug dealer who uses her two small children to traffic the drugs out of her house so she won't get caught. A major city is beginning a media blitz to save unwanted babies. It seems there have been a rash of parents abandoning their newborns in trash bins, in city parks, and in alleys. The media blitz on TV and radio and newspapers declares that these parents will not do jail time or be charged with abandonment if they will just leave their babies in a safe place. Administrators in a city high school forbid the Gideon's Bible Society from distributing copies of the Bible freely to their students. They forbid that to happen. But the same high school administrators install condom machines in both the girls' and the boys' washrooms to promote safe sex. Police interview 100 students from a small college where a 19-year-old young woman is found stabbed to death in her own dormitory room. And when the parents are interviewed, they said they purposely sent their child to a small college because of their fear of a big university. Look around at our world today. It is not safe here. It's not a safe place for the church, for God's people. And it's not just the blatant evil all around us that we can read about in newspaper articles. No, it's also the subtle, the sneaky, the, oh, that doesn't seem like any big deal evil. It's all around us as well. And this sneaky kind of evil especially tempts Christian people, God's people, the church. Tempts us, especially our young people and our young families, to live like the unbelievers all around us. And the devil's rejoicing. The devil rejoices when he hears things like this from God's people. Oh, it's no big deal that our children don't attend Sunday school and our church attendance is spotty. You see, our social calendar and our sports calendar is so full. Oh, we really can't take time for family prayer and devotions. I have hardly enough time now to drive my kids to all the events for which I've signed them up. Oh, I just have to work more hours so I can make more money to get the money I want to buy the things for my family that everybody else seems to have these days. Christian people are being seduced by the world. And we wonder why our families aren't the way they should be. We wonder why our marriages and children are in trouble. We wonder why the faith is not being passed down to the next generation. It's not safe here. And we who should know better have often been seduced by the lies of the world. And we're seeing the consequences. Now, in addition for our need to repent, because it's so easy for Christian people to point at that old evil world without remembering one finger pointed at his three coming back. In addition to our need to repent, we also recognize this world is not a safe place. And we find ourselves praying, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Get us out of this mess that we have created." But the second reason, notice your sermon outline. The second reason that we want our Lord Jesus to return home soon is this: we want to go home. We want to be in God's presence in heaven. Just this Thursday, I went to the hospital to visit one of our members, and I held her hand and visited with her. Part of the conversation when one of her loved ones was out of the room was, "I just want to go home to heaven." There's an old children's song that goes like this. Maybe you remember this old song. "Heaven is a wonderful place, full of glory and grace. I just want to see my Savior's face because heaven is such a wonderful place." Why is it so wonderful? Is it because it'll be a home there, beautiful beyond our wildest imaginations? Oh, that's a part of the reason, but just a part. What makes a place a home is the people that are there. Now, some people might have a bigger home than I have, a better home than I have, a newer home than I have, but I would not call that my home. Home is where the most important people I know and love are. Heaven is home because Jesus is there welcoming us. Heaven is being filled to the brim with peace and contentment and joy and the love of God that only comes from being in His holy presence. Heaven, our eternal home, is a wonderful place also because our Christian loved ones who have gone before us are there waiting for us to welcome us home. We want Jesus to come back because we're not really home yet. As the old hymn says, "I am but a stranger here. Heaven is my home." We're not really home. We're not really with all those whom we love. We're not really enjoying the full, personal, face-to-face presence of being in the presence with our Lord Jesus. Oh, we're on our way, but we're not there yet. Did you know that there is a built-in homesickness in each of our hearts? The holy writer to the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 11, says this: "God has placed eternity in our hearts." So we pray, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." But He hasn't. He hasn't answered that prayer yet. We're still here. He hasn't come back yet. We're still on the way. So, Jesus makes a promise. Jesus gives us an offer. An offer as we're traveling on this journey through life. He invites us to come to Him where He is found. Listen to our text, 22 Revelation, verse 17. Jesus says, "Come, whoever is thirsty, come for the free gift of the water of life." Today He invites us, as He invites all people, to come to the place where He may be found to give us to drink of the water of life, that water that quenches our deepest thirst and meets our deepest needs. Where is that place? It is in the midst of His people, in the midst of His family, our home, the church. Several years ago, I was traveling, and I was trying to get home for Christmas. The day I left, a terrible storm hit. It was raining when I left, but by the time I got onto the highway, an ice storm had formed. The rain turned to ice, and the windshield wipers were so heavy with ice they wouldn't even turn. And as I got out of the car to clean off the wipers, I could barely stand up because the roads were covered with black ice. Trucks were off the side of the road and cars were in the ditches. I knew I could not make it home that night. But I had some relatives who lived just down the highway. I could make it there. They weren't expecting me, but I stopped in anyhow. And when I knocked on the door and the door was open, from that open door came the warmth of the house and the wonderful smell of supper. And I was invited in. I was welcomed in, fed a good meal, had some good laughs, given a comfortable bed. It was not where I planned to end up that night. But it was wonderful to be in such a nice and welcoming, loving home on such a dangerous night in my journey. My friends, Jesus invites us to come and stay with our brothers and sisters in Christ we call the church. Until that day when we arrive in heaven, in this family called the church, we are welcomed. We are given good food. We are given a place to rest away from the dangers of this world. Yes, here we're welcomed. Here, our dirty clothes of sin and shame can be exchanged for fresh robes of righteousness, the forgiveness of sins. Here, we are fed with heavenly food, the very body and blood of Christ our Lord. Here, we are brothers and sisters welcomed at the table together. And here, we're fed with His glorious Word. Meals are served here on a regular basis to which all are invited. The meals of God's holy word served in Sunday school, Bible class, and from the pulpit. Here God feeds us with His nutritious word of life so that we can say no to the garbage junk food this world has to offer, but will never satisfy. And here in Christ's church, we're given a place to rest. Yes, we must go back into the world. Yes, we must continue our journey. But here we're reminded we're never alone in the journey. We travel together. And best of all, we have our Lord Emmanuel with us, whose name means God with us in our journey. And here we're reminded. We're reminded that one day we truly will be home, where every tear will be wiped away, replaced with joy unbounded. A final story for you. When my son Christopher and daughter Abigail were 5 and 2 years old, by the way, it reminds me of a cartoon I saw. A pastor's in his clerical collar looking over the bassinet in the hospital, and he says, "Oh, my little sermon illustration." I'm using them again. When Christopher was 5 and Abigail was 2, they were often very sad in the mornings when I had to leave them and go to work at the church office. They'd almost break my heart when they'd stand at the glass door of the front door of the house, little faces pressed up against the door, tears running down their cheeks, saying, "Don't go, Daddy, don't go." And then, "Come back, Daddy, come back." But oh, the joy for us all when I came back for supper time. And I could see them through the same glass door, jumping up and down and saying, "Daddy's home! Daddy's home! Daddy's come back for us! We can go play ball with Daddy! Daddy's home!" And so we pray, "Come back, Lord Jesus. Come back quickly. One day soon He will. And we will celebrate, no longer with our faces smushed up against the glass door, no longer with tears running down our cheeks, but until that day, when He comes back for us, we come here where He promises to meet us in His church. Because here He strengthens us for our final journey home. And until that day, we pray with all faith, come, Lord Jesus, come. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let us now worship.